I'm going to call to order the December 2022 meeting of the Newport Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee at exactly 5:30 p.m. Could I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Good evening. Steinberg.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Cheryl Brown.
Here.
Charles Brown.
Here.
Schrantz. Absent. Gonzalez Munoz. Gahuli?
There.
Norris?
He may be late.
Late, okay. Jebasek? She was supposed to be calling in.
Is she she's not there yet?
She isn't, no.
Okay.
But we'll find out soon. She should log in. Moore, absent. Chandler?
Here.
Hall is absent. Patello, absent. And our alternative liaison, Jacoby.
Thank you for being here, Cynthia. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's address the elephant in the room first. The elephant in the room is that I have appeared at this meeting wearing a dress. And you were all too polite to say anything. Like, why are you wearing a dress? The answer is that I have tickets for a Newport Symphony concert at 7:30 p.m. So this meeting is going to be over at like 7:05.
You can wear a dress.
Just wanted to let you know.
All right.
You can wear a dress. I'm going to start wearing board shorts. Dressing up with jeans is killing.
Yeah, that's right. You're dressing up in jeans. Wonderful. Okay, so we've had a roll call. Additions or deletions to the agenda? I have none. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add or address on the agenda? Okay. Approval of minutes. We do not have minutes from our last meeting yet because it was only like a week and a half ago, essentially. So we will approve both sets of minutes at the next meeting. This, incidentally, is going to be our regular meeting time going forward, the first Wednesday of the month at 5:30. So now we're on track to do that properly. So let's move on to our discussion items. We're going to start tonight. Is Nyla on yet, Mike?
She is not. I was hoping she would be on. And she's pretty good at responding to me by email. And when I sent her the phone number, I didn't hear back from her. So I'm hoping everything's okay.
Okay, I hope so too. I was one of the reasons we're doing this next agenda item is for the new folks. Hi, Charlie, who are on the committee. I'm going to ask Mike to give us just a refresher or an introduction for some of us to the recreation business plan that was finalized not long ago. And I wanted him to do that before we step into the process of finishing up our goal setting for next year, so that we all know what this business plan is all about and whether we want to pull anything out of it to advocate for as a priority.
Nyla.
Oh, yay.
Here we go. Nyla, are you there?
Yes, I am challenged when it comes to remembering numbers. But I'm here. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Nyla. So I was just saying that we're going to start with, we've already done our pleasantries for the introduction, but Mike is going to kick us off with a presentation about the recreation business plan that was finalized not long ago for the department, so that we are all sort of up to speed on what it is and what's in it. And that might come in handy as we go through our goal setting process going forward in the agenda. So take it away, Mike.
Okay, so just quick summary or just some quick explaining real quick about the plan that's in your packet. This is the best I can do to get you guys hard copies of the plan. So feel free to unstaple this packet, throw it in a three-ring binder, do whatever you guys need to do. And for Nyla and any of the members that aren't here, I have extra packets to give hard copies to. So I apologize. It is a pretty lengthy plan and an expensive plan to print out and bind. And then also, as I go through the plan and give quick references to page numbers, in the packet there, you'll see on the bottom right corners or in the bottom corner, there's two numbers for page numbers. The black number is the page number for the agenda packet. But then there is a number that's a little more inward of the plan. That is the true plan page number. So as I reference numbers, because I'm going to be going off of my binded packet, that I have notes on, I'm going to be referencing the plan page number, not the agenda page number. So if there is some confusion, if you guys are on the wrong page, stop me quickly so I can point you in the right direction. So quick summary of the plan itself, the history. The last plan, I believe, was completed in 2012, business plan for the recreation division of our department. That plan itself was not the best of plans, and I would be glad to share that document with anyone if they want to read it on their side time. But it's definitely, 2012 is an outdated plan too for the department. The budget committee and city council for, I believe, the last 2 to 3 years had been requesting a business plan to be put together. And so this was one of my first big undertakings coming in the director role. There was a lot of community engagement with the plan, community engagement with the committee, city council, a bunch of different stakeholders that are within the community that are involved within recreation in the building and outside the building. Some of the stakeholders you would can be considered, you know, our youth associations that play sports, the school district. Who else? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Swim team. We had some instructors that came in and engaged with our consultants, but a wide swath of everybody that we could think of that is somehow tied to recreation and bringing them in. We also, they worked directly with staff, compiling data, reviewing through our programs, to really get an understanding of what and where, what we've been doing. You know, anything from programs and activities to the way we operate in the facilities, the way the facilities are managed and maintenance. And then also identifying, kind of like looking at comparing our footprint and what we do and how we operate and comparing that to other coastal towns in Oregon, and then also or coastal agencies with on the coast and other Oregon communities spread out that are equivalent in size, population size across the entire state, and similar budgets and whatnot. So the first area I'm going to really hit on is just kind of the purpose of the plan, and then some big key issues. So in the plan on page 7, under the executive summary, the plan itself is to best identify the needs, desires of our community, what they want from us as a recreation division. And that, once going through that this plan is to provide us with that path forward. It's basically our recreation roadmap. Just like our park master plan is the roadmap for our parks division, this is our recreation division roadmap. They did a financial analysis and completed a 5-year financial forecast. Things are looking okay, not as bad, but there's definitely room for lots of improvement. Over the last several years, I think since 2016, we've been going up within our subsidies that are required from the general fund. And so we looked at that, and then they also evaluated our organizational structure and our programs and activities and how that's put together. There's also some supporting documents that came out of this plan. One of them is a marketing plan that is just an internal document because it's not a complete marketing plan. That was an extra add-in that the consultants and I talked about with city admin, and we all kind of agreed to, if there was a way, if they could do it, the consultants would try to incorporate some marketing plan itself, structure for it, a loose structure, so we can use that as a guiding document moving forward until we can really acquire the funds and work with another consultant or really spend enough time internally developing a complete marketing plan for the department. And I'll kind of tie into the marketing as a whole with, you know, some goals and objectives that we're trying to accomplish on our end. But the big key takeaways or issues that were kind of identified, financial sustainability, which on page 7 you'll see over there on the right-hand column, and resiliency within the organization. Again, like I referenced, there is a deficit that we kind of sit in right now. You know, there's two kind of models for Parks and Recreation. There's the Parks and Rec district model, and then there's the Parks and Rec department model that's under a city or, you know, county agency. Mm-hmm. The district model is it's a break-even model. You know, what you bring in is what you're spending on the back end in operations. The government agency model, it tends to be more of a subsidized model, and that's really determined by the path of what, you know, our policymakers want, what our community wants, and, you know, maybe it's time for us to evaluate if that's still what our community wants. So a lot of information that's in this plan is a lot of community engagement, you know, listening to our community members, listening to our policymakers, listening to our committee members, and you guys are the voice of the committee. Or of the community, so same as city council. And so that's where we want to engage with our stakeholders, engage with the community to guide us where they want us to go. It's too easy for us, and it's probably too easy for any department to say, nope, this is how we're going to do it because this is what we know. You know, but at the same time, we're stewards of taxpayer money, and we want to make sure that we're doing what the taxpayers feel. And that's better for us as explaining why we're operating in a certain way, is to say, well, we engage with the community. This is what they want. This is why we're doing it. If we need to change, we'll engage more. We'll get more guidance, and we'll keep moving forward. So that was a big thing. But the structural deficit is a big piece. We requested within the plan to come up with several scenarios regarding how we can lessen our need for subsidies from the general fund. So we requested a 20%. A 50% and a 75% reduction in subsidies and what that might look like to the department. Some of those scenarios are kind of scary when you look at how they played out, but it's a good way of determining, you know, giving us some guidance and figuring out where we want to go or where our community wants us to lead. We also identified the tourist market. It's a piece that we're capitalizing on, but not fully, as best as we can. So there's a big recurring theme in the plan about better capitalization on the tourist dollars and marketing towards them and capturing their services or capturing income from that community. A lot of our facilities and the way we're structured as a department for not a town of 10,000 people. We're structured and built really more for a town of 30,000, 40,000 people. And so we need to do a better job of capturing that revenue so we can offset costs and not have that burden falling on our 10,000 community members. And that also incorporates, you know, maybe even doing a better job with our non-city residents too. Is there a way we can better capitalize on that? Not to pass the buck to them, but also to make it clear that, you know, there is a benefit for living in the city, and you know, if people from outside the city want to use our facilities, that's fine, and we'll serve them happily. But there is a cost that they should be incurring, not our residents. We need to better our accounting practice in regards to the way we're capturing our revenue. One big piece that we discussed here at this level was we can't accurately describe and show what revenue our pool's bringing in because of the way our memberships were combined shortly after the pool was added onto the recreation center. We're working on that. We're having some discussions internally already. You know, also a big piece that was pointed out was how underutilized our facilities are at certain times, mainly the recreation center. There are ebbs and flows of traffic in and out of our building, and we've had a past tendency, I don't believe deliberately, but it just tends to kind of show that we're kind of more dependent upon rentals than we are for providing programs. We haven't taken a deep dive into why that was that way, if it was just happened naturally, you know, because of lack of instructors, lack of employment to fill those spaces with programs. But there is a piece where we are not really capitalizing on programming when we should be programming and utilizing our space accurately. It's kind of the mindset we need to kind of pivot to is we program and we fit rentals in the gaps and go from there. And a great space that kind of models that is our gyms right now. We program the heck out of our gyms, and then when we have rentals, we can cancel. We cancel programs or we deny rentals because we have programs, existing programs in place. So that's a perfect example. Better alignment of our city fees. Again, that's, you know, our out-of-city fees, And so that's a non-resident to the city, non-resident to the county, and so on and so forth. And then creating some best practices. We have no best practices in place. We have no standards in place for our recreation division. We have them up here. We don't have them on paper. And so that's where there's a lot, coming out of this plan, there's gonna be a lot of policies and procedures that are gonna have to be written. So there's gonna be a lot of homework for myself and my staff. But these are things we're just slowly taking steps forward, and we'll get there, you know, inch by inch. The effectiveness of our professional team and delivery services. One thing that was interesting, I kind of always felt personally we might have been a bloated department, but one piece that came out is that we're actually, for what we're doing and for how we're operating, our department isn't as, it's leaner than I thought. So that was a pretty interesting fact that came out of the plan. But at the same time, our organizational structure isn't really efficient. We have some managers or supervisors that are managing too much, too many facilities or too many employees, and doesn't have enough time to really direct their attention to programming and activities and overseeing those things. We also have a facility that might be a little too top heavy in regards to supervision. And then we have another facility that is very, very, very lean in regards to how it's staffed and operated. And it's complete opposite. You know, our 60 plus center has two staff members, and they do a lot. There's a lot of programming that happens out of there. And so these are models that we need to look at and evaluate. Maybe there's some sharing of staff, sharing of facilities that hasn't really been done well in the past. And then another big piece would be an administrative assistant position. I know it's been discussed a little bit here. It says it's needed for the director and for the advisory committee, but I want to take that one step further. It's actually a piece that could, it's a position that could actually benefit the entire department, not just the rec side, our park side too. There's a lot of pieces that person can play for this committee, doing minutes. Obviously, keeping the meeting on track at times, you know, if there's a time constraint, you know, accounts payable is another thing. We spend a lot of time, each supervisor, even myself, processing bills. And it's an easy job to do, but it's just time consuming. And I can't get over how much Parks does. When I oversaw Parks for that 6 month period between supervisors, I could not believe the amount of time I was spending on just processing a bill. And so that's another piece. A piece that we talked about with the consultants was maybe there's a hybrid position. If we go full time, maybe they can take on some of the marketing piece. You know, maybe there's a piece, you know, we can tailor that where we're taking that hat away from our coordinators and our other supervisors, even our part-time staff, who is constantly switching from programmer and coordinator to the marketer, marketing coordinator to, you know, activities coordinator. It takes time, you know, and to do those things right, and that's a big piece, the plan, the marketing plan that was I mentioned, and a constant, you know, conversation that we always have with the public is, well, you guys need to do a better job marketing. Well, you know, we can streamline that, you know, and if we have one person doing it, they have the checklist to follow. And then there's also branding that they can assist with. So that's a position that we're going to be chasing soon. And then positive, consistent communication to the community. Again, email blast. We love to do emails. I just sent out an email, kind of our quarterly email that was sent today that I put together. That took a little bit of time. And it just looks like a basic email. It doesn't really have that great newsletter feel, you know, and those things matter when you're trying to appeal to a customer. And so that's another thing an admin assistant can do. Better marketing and awareness for our activities, improvement on our activity guide. That's one of our goals as we kind of move into the objectives, goals, objectives, and action items that are in the back of this plan. That is a piece that's addressed, and that's something that we're trying to take on in a recent strategic meeting that I had with the Recreation Division last week doing goal setting. That's a piece that we want to improve on pretty quickly, and we know that's a low-hanging fruit that we always talk about, and we can probably improve on that pretty fast. Again, better marketing to our visitors, that's the last bullet point. Facilities that meet the needs of our residents. We need to improve on our annual maintenance plan. We have facilities that are kind of failing slowly in little pieces. And that's a bigger discussion with city admin, our public works department. And those steps are already starting to take, but we want to keep continuing that process moving forward. Bringing our facilities back to normal operating hours, that we obviously know is a challenge because we talked about that regularly. We have the funding now in place, we just don't have the bodies. And it seems like the rest of the world doesn't have the bodies either. So, but we're hoping to get there. A better mix of our facilities and rentals and program opportunities. That again is, you know, kind of re-changing our view and how we want to move forward with, you know, let's not just wait for people to come to us. Let's get them to come into the building. Replacement of our fitness equipment was identified. We're working on that. We've already taken care of all of our cardio equipment last year in this current fiscal year. And we will, in the next couple fiscal years, pursuing to replace a lot of our weight equipment now. We need state-of-the-art equipment if we want more business. And there's other businesses in town that have upped the game, and so we need to try to match that if that's the direction that our community wants us to go. Access to high-quality programs and services. Times offered, you know, we need to evaluate all our programs and when we offer them, and then making sure we're offering them at the correct time. Capacity over at the pool for programs. That's something that Keely is discussed several times with Judy and I. She has visions and plans. And she's already taking those steps forward. She's meeting, trying to get to meet her goal that she has is 3 special events, and she's doing an excellent job over there, even with being short-staffed. She wants to increase swim lessons. That is a program that operates in the black very easily. We just don't have instructors right now, or enough instructors. So we're working to get there. An increased focus on the diversity, equity, and inclusion. That is a big thing that we continued to talk about over and over last week in our strategic planning and where and what we want to do. It was one of our goals this year, but things are just crazy, and so we didn't really get to address it. But we want to take that another step forward, put together a policy for the department, and then maybe expand, you know, with some other ideas that we have had in brief discussion. So that might even include the committee as a whole. So, you know, that's something to think about for goal setting. An interesting piece, Newport community members have access to exercise opportunities. That's 93% of the Newport community has access to it, but 25% are inactive and 36 are obese. That's pretty interesting numbers. And, you know, one thing that we've already kind of taken a step forward is there is a program called First Steps that we've started, and we're having positive feedback there with that program. And we're doing it in our off hours when the building's closed. And it's really helping community members that want to take that step forward but feel like there are barriers. We're trying to eliminate those barriers. The Child Care Challenge, Cynthia knows that very well. And so we're trying to take steps to improve child care. And we hope at some point, sometime, you know, childcare will resume or come back to pre-COVID levels. The 60-plus activity center, they make a suggestion of evaluating the age requirement over at that building. And so that's a discussion Sonia and I have had. And we're evaluating that. You know, more programs for kids and families, obviously, that's a big piece. If we want individuals to stay in our community, you know, that come here for different job reasons. We want to make sure that we're providing services that will retain them in our community. And then, of course, pickleball and middle school sports was mentioned. And pickleball itself is definitely a growing sport, and we're evaluating how we can accommodate them without displacing other programs and services that we're providing. So we're working on that. And then on page 9, the goals, these are quick. This is a quick snapshot of what the goals and objectives are that came out of the plan. So page 9 and page 10, but I'll dive further into the goals and objectives without sucking up too much time. Regarding the goals and objectives, we really utilize this in our rec strategic planning to develop our goals. We kind of blew up our goals and objectives that we've had for the past several years, and we wanted to tailor it towards these. This is a plan that we don't want to collect dust, and so we really tailored them. So I'll dive into that later. Switching over to our framework, kind of just a quick summary in Nancy, feel free to flag me and say, Mike, you're talking too much. But on page 12 and 13 of the plan, this is the framework that we kind of laid out through the RFP process and in the agreement process with the consultants of what we want to see done, the factors that we want them to really focus in on and hone in on to create this plan. So you know, implementing the plan and tying that plan with other city documents is, you know, tying that to the Vision 2040, our park master plan, and the city's comprehensive plan. That was all done in advance with the consultants evaluating those and then getting a good idea of how to tie this plan with those and keep those all in line. You know, engaging with the community, engaging with our stakeholders, with, you know, doing an analysis in regards to the future recreation needs. So they really worked with the public on that. They, of course, like I said, they compared our benchmarks with other agencies, similar agencies of size along the coast and throughout the state of Oregon. They worked in partnership with the city to develop and implement a needs analysis survey. So this is the survey that we sent out internally from our staff side to benefit this plan, to engage and create more touch points is what we kept calling it, or the consultants kept calling it. And that helps us guide, you know, that helped guide the consultants, helped guide us to put together this plan, and then we'll continue those type of surveys annually so we can make sure we're staying on track. There's a lot of comparisons, analysis with community profiles. So like I said, they compared us with other agencies. They also looked at different trends happening on the national level and state level. So that was through the NRPA, which is the National Recreation Parks Association, and ORPA, the Oregon Recreation Park Association. Another cool piece that, like I said, that came out of this was the marketing plan. I can share that document. I probably should have added that onto the agenda. And I can send that out to you guys just so you guys can take a look at it.
Did you develop that internally, or was that the consultants?
It was with the consultants, but it's not a full plan. It was just kind of that, you know, quick skimming of the surface of what a marketing plan should look like. It's actually interesting. Jeff, who was the main the project consultant for this one, he just sent me a recent email about presenting that marketing plan at the NRPA conference next year, and I agreed to it. And it was early in the morning. I didn't have enough cups of coffee, so I said, yeah, sure. And then I was like, what am I doing? But so we'll be presenting in Dallas next year regarding how we partnered and thought outside the box to create this marketing plan. It's a really cool plan, and we're already hoping to expand on that. Then we also wanted them to identify some best practices for our marketing services, and how we're tailoring that for residents and how we're tailoring that for out of town, patrons, developing a funding strategy, for capital and operation needs. As I said, we talked about the three scenarios that we laid out for them that we were hoping they would, or that we wanted them to put together. We also wanted them to provide some recommended staffing levels and how our organization looks like, what our facilities should be operating at, and then provide alternative or non-traditional funding opportunities. And there's a long, long, long list in the back of different funding opportunities that are out there, different ones from bonds, you know, moving into a district model, development fees that we can add in, you know, whether it's, you got your system development charges that kind of benefit our park side, but maybe there's a way we can put a development fee, whether it's internally within the department or maybe across the board of the city as a whole, which is a tie-in to, you know, spearhead a little bit more revenue for the recreation fund itself to benefit all three of our facilities. Flex fees, that was another recommendation. Sponsorships, you know, do we want to brand out and make, you know, the Newport Les Schwab Recreation Center, you know, those type of things. And again, a lot of this is community. I've read up on, you know, even branding and sponsorships. Mm-hmm. You know, it really matters what the community wants. It's, you know, we could go out there and, you know, sell it for $100,000, you know, branding for the next 10 years for our rec center. But is that what our community wants? Does our community want the Les Schwab Rec Center or whatever it's going to be? And so there's more engagement. And does our council want that? So there's that.
Can you tell us about the flex? What was it you said? Flex something?
Oh, flex fees. So flex fees are, it's a common practice that's used within like hotels, I'm trying to think what other like private business to use it, but hotels are your best model where if, you know, they have a hotel that's sitting empty and they only have two rooms for the weekend, well, they drop their prices to see if they can engage more people to come in and get a room from them. But if they have three rooms and it's on a busy weekend when there's seafood and wine or whatever, well, then they flex. They're changing their fees based on what they have available and what their usage is, and then they increase it, and your hotel night might go from $100 to $200. Well, we would use that same model in our facilities. The rec center would be a good example, you know, if, or even our pool. Actually, I'll say our pool. We usually tend to have slow times at the pool between 12 and 3. And, you know, maybe we try to encourage more residents to attend those times. And so we maybe drop our prices during those hours. And so that would be, that's a good comparison there between what I explained for hotels versus how it would probably look in our facility.
Okay. And then I noticed that a third of the people were complaining that the costs were too high. And so I'm thinking to myself, do you want to do a sliding scale? Would it be worth it to do that to pick up maybe a third more people?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, we probably won't be able to do for this current fee schedule, because I definitely want to engage with this committee, with city council and city admin about our fees in regards to how we want to change them. A sliding scale was one. There's also, I can't remember the name of the model, but, you know, it's kind of a trust factor. You know, you can pay more, or you can pay the price of the activity or program. You can pay more than what that is if you're willing and able to, or you could pay less because you need to take that, you know, you need a discount based on your income. And from what our consultants have said, I haven't had a chance to evaluate that yet, but from what our consultants, they've seen many agencies move to that model, and it's actually fared out pretty well in regards to revenue for the department. And so I'm interested. I just need to engage more with some of those agencies to see how they built that model and how successful that model really is.
The city has a low income water rate program, so that might be a hookup immediately.
Okay. I'll check with finance on that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And then I'm going to jump all the way to the back. So a lot of the middle parts of the department of the plan is just kind of them laying out how they went about these different factors and how they attempted to build or how they did build this plan, and then the information that they collected from all the engagements, touch points, from the data that we provided them, and what and how they compiled all that information. But where I'm going to jump is I'm going to jump forward to page 66 in the plan. And I believe that is page 70 for the agenda page, but page 66 is the plan page number. So these are your hypothetical scenarios in that chart to the left on page 66 that kind of explains the breakdown, 25% reduction, how much we save, what areas would have reductions added, and then the individual impact there on the sides and the two right columns there. But where I was gonna kind of show your focus, there's a lot of reading on that chart, and I just wanted to keep my summary of the plan somewhat concise. So over on page 67 and 68, this kind of gives you the idea of what and how things would change with these different scenarios. So at the top is our current organizational chart based on the functions that and how we function within the department: rec center, rec programs, sports programs, aquatic programs, 60 plus center, and then park maintenance. And those all obviously filter and fall under me. With the 25% cut, you know, to our subsidies from the general fund, well, there goes all of our recreation programs. There goes our sports programs. Those are big. Those are kids. Those are services for children that we're most likely going to lose. There's some services for adults in there for the recreation programs and sports programs. But I know these numbers, and these numbers are largely kids. So that's a huge, huge hit there. Then you flip over our 50%. deeper cuts. There goes our 60-plus center. That's pretty big, especially in a town, our community here, where I believe, you know, 40% of our population is 60 and older. You know, again, recreation services are gone. Our rec programs are gone, and our sports programs are still gone. Then the 75% cut, that would just be devastating, obviously.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a job.
You'll be back in the Carolinas.
I would be. I'd be hanging out with the Hurricanes.
These scenarios, Mike, did the 25, 50, 75 represent decreases in overall budget of the department or decreases in the subsidy only?
Decreases in the subsidies would be, but those would be direct impacts to our budget.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
I think for our current budget right now, we are subsidized, and this is an unusual year because we're still coming out of COVID, but we are subsidized $1.4 million. Mm-hmm. From the general fund. It is normally better. It's a lower number, but this is an unusual year, obviously. And we are hoping, we are building back as I get into the report, the department report. But yeah, 75%, we just have a pool, and we would just have part maintenance that would be back under Public Works.
Right.
And right. We know where and how that looked. So on the following pages, page 69, 70, or page 69 through 73 of the plan, this is all your alternative funding opportunity that are out there for us. Some that we're already currently in use and doing, some that, you know, we definitely should be considering. Some of it's probably easy things to accomplish, things that would make significant impacts to that, you know, offsetting of subsidies. So we'll be working through that. And I actually hope to set up a meeting with Spencer to kind of look at the feasibility of what these might look like and if these are even feasible within the structure of how we're operating right now. So that's page 69 through 73. You know, some of these things are opportunities that we can actually move on here soon. You know, grants, you know, we are having a grant manager position that's currently open and posted that will be under community planning. That is a position that is supposed to benefit the whole city. There's still going to be a lot of work that will be on myself and on staff to provide that grant manager. But there is now a position that will hopefully be someone that will assist with grant writing and better our chances with opportunities of collecting funds through grants. So, but a lot of different opportunities. I'll let you read through them at another point. I want to jump over to our goals and objectives just to give you an idea of how things operated or how things went in our meeting last week, and then kind of to give you guys an idea, probably things to keep in mind as we go through the goal setting. So on page 85 of the plan, so way back in the back.
89.
And Charles says that's page 89. So those key issues that I mentioned at the front, they are summarized again in that gray box there on page 85. And those are really going to, those are our goals right there. And so when you flip over to page 90, this is really the moving the department forward. This is our roadmap. This is what we're as staff going to utilize as our roadmap. Everything prior to these pages we're going to be using as references for this roadmap on these goals and objectives. Our thought process that we used when doing our strategic planning meeting last week was, you know, the way we build our city goals, obviously most of you know we have a goal, then we have our action items, which are called objectives. You know, these are the things that we will do to obtain that goal. We looked at this, we looked at our objectives as our goals. And if we are obtaining those goals, the AKA the objectives in the plan, then we're obtaining the goals that are laid out in the plan. So to give you a quick idea, again, I'm not gonna run through everyone, but I'll give you an idea of what we deemed as what will be our goals and objectives. Again, this is still in draft form after reviewing it, after our meeting. I was like, wow, we're really shooting high here. We've got a lot of objectives here for all the goals that are listed out. And so I will be going back through and evaluating, but just in objective one, setting standards and reviewing the progress for the deficit that we're under. We decided that A, B, and D were easily attainable, or at least we could start the process.
A, B, and D?
A, B, and D. Or out of those, again, we haven't set timelines on those. We don't know. I haven't determined. Yes, this will be in the next year, or this will be in the next 2 to 5 years. But a little further on in the document, they kind of outline like midterm goals. The short-term goals can be started right away in 2023. Are more of those midterm goals. Those are ones that we should kind of hold off on. Not really try to tackle too quickly in 2023. Again, these are just recommendations. We think we can tackle or at least start some of these. Aligning our fees a little bit better for out of town, that's easily doable. We can do that in the next couple years. One thing that we will do currently in the fee schedule, for sure, we'll be creating an out of town or out of county fee. So we're gonna create a three-tier fee structure. Right now we have two tiers and for resident and non-resident, and that was just instituted across the board for all programs, memberships, everything. That was instituted 2 years ago. We only did a non-resident fee for just our passes, and that was it. And then so 2 years, that was one of the first changes that we did on our fee schedule with me coming in, was we're doing across the board programs, everything. We're having a non-resident. Well, we're gonna jump on that, and we're going to create a three-tier structure. We're also going to evaluate our age breakdowns. It kind of gets quite confusing when you look at our fee chart, where we have, you know, infants, we have 0 to 5, and then we have 6 to 18, and then we have 18 to 59, and then 60 and up. And so we're going to evaluate and see if we can streamline some of that. And a lot of that's going to be engaging with other agencies and reviewing and seeing what they and how they're doing their fees. So we're currently looking and evaluating that. Bettering our accounting practices, talking about splitting out revenues and better tracking how we're in which areas are doing better or doing worse in our revenue. So that way we can focus in on those trouble areas. And then also engaging with our community through surveys. One interesting right now, the way I know we've been operating, we come with our price structures for programs, activities. We do that, you know, by evaluating what the cost of the program is and what we need to break even. But at times, I know staff, and I'm guilty, I did it in sports too sometimes, you're in a pinch, you need to get a program going, you need to get information in the activity guide, you're caught behind. Well, you just come up with, all right, I'm going to plug and play a number and go. Well, we shouldn't do that. And so we want to really engage with our community to our users to find out, okay, what programs do you think should be subsidized? Which ones do you not? Which ones do you think are personal benefit? Which ones are benefits to the community? You know, is youth basketball a personal benefit, or is that a benefit for all kids or all, the whole community? Well, should there be a subsidy? Should there not? Or does Aqua Zumba, you know, is that a benefit to the community, or is that just to the 10 people that are in the class? Those are the things that we're going to kind of flesh out to see and see what our users want, and then that'll be our guiding road on our fees. Direct cost recovery, doing a cost recovery study, assigning prices for programs, rental costs, again, that's another piece, policy for cost recovery. That way, that's steering our staff, telling them what they should be doing. That was one thing with our sports coordinator. He's asking a lot of questions, he's learning, and there's pieces where I'm like, no, I don't have anything physical to give to you right now. I don't have that. And so those are the things that we need to build. Putting cost recovery goals, discounts offered to our residents. Those are things I've kind of already mentioned with changes in our fee structure. For objective, so for that 1.2, we decided to tackle A, B, and C in the next year or two. So that's for objective 1.2, focusing on direct cost recovery at the facility level. And it's interesting, we kind of started seeing, you know, obviously these objectives are tied together. You know, 1.1 and 1.2 are very similar, and so they do tie together. So these are, we also kept that in mind where we're like, okay, this objective also ties into 1.1, you know, versus 1.2. And so there's kind of it's a hybrid model of an objective for two goals. 1.3, delivery programs, facilities, and promotion to the Newport tourists, working with Chamber, working with Travel Oregon. These are organizations that we want to tie into, you know, for a better reach into the tourist community. One mention or one plan that we have, and we do sell passes to a few campgrounds to utilize our pool. But why are we not doing that with the hotels that don't have pools? Mm-hmm. You know, is there a way we can tie in there? You know, what about you know, a 2-for-1? Get, you know, we have a large tourist community that's 60 and older. You know, maybe we create a template of come to the pool, or, you know, free admittance into the 60 plus center while you're in town. You know, so there's, you know, one free entry, but, you know, they're here for a whole week. That gives them a little taste, and maybe they'll keep coming back for that week. So that's one draw that we're going to try to do. We obviously want to reduce, you know, what investment is being placed on our user or of our residents. A B is another one that we believe, as we kind of start checking boxes on these other objectives and we're making these changes within programs, activities, and our outreach to community, then we should see an improvement in B, in theory, dropping our cost from $181 that each resident is having to pay to sustain our department or the sustained recreation programs. Maybe if we can get that down to $150, that's pretty attainable. That's a $30 reduction. So we're hoping in the next couple of years that we'll see that change as we start implementing these other objectives. Expanding on current and successful hotel partnerships, obviously I mentioned that earlier. And that's going to take, again, a group effort, us working, engaging with the Chamber and Travel Oregon and how we can tie. And they'll make those connections for us at times, and how we can better advertise through the Chamber, Travel Oregon, what we can assist them on.
Do we have any sense of what time, like seasonal fluctuation with tourism and using the rec center?
Spring break.
Yeah. Summertime is sort of one. We also see a huge increase in attendance in the fall, and some of that is from our residents turning to indoor activities, but we also have a heavy use of older tourist activity that does come in through the fall. Our tourist season seems to be expanding a little bit more on those bookend months. It used to be June to September, early September. Now it's kind of that October and May timeframe. But those are numbers that we need to evaluate with the Chamber, and there is some reference to some of that in the meat of the plan, based on what they were able to pull data when they engaged with Travel Oregon and the Chamber also. 1.4.
Hold on, before you step through, Mike, I don't know that we're going to have time to go through all of them one at a time like this.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
So what I'd like to do is ask you, since I want to sort of roll this, have everyone sort of be aware of generally what's in the plan and roll this into a discussion of goal setting,
mm-hmm.
What I want to know from you to start is if there are items that we can take on in any way as a committee as priorities for ourselves for the upcoming year. How can we help? How can we advocate? I have a couple of, you know, I've been jotting notes, and I have a couple of ideas, but I'm wondering, like, what are priorities for you? Should we advocate to council for particular items? For example, I really think that you need that administrative person, and is there a way for us to advocate for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, advocating for, you know, some staffing changes as they come. I think advocating as we attempt to move and change our fee structure, you know,
I think you should bring a proposal and the changes of fee structure to us as representatives of the committee, and that will help bolster
And that's what I was going to say. As we start implementing a lot of these changes, I want to bring them forward to the committee to show, one, to keep you guys, you know, in the loop of what is happening and what we're trying to do, but also, you know, the way I, you guys are the community. You guys are the representatives of the community for Parks and Recreation. And, you know, you guys obviously championing for us to council or even to the community. But yeah, as those changes come through, those are the things that I plan on keeping you guys in lockstep with us. You know, maybe funding sources, potentially, you know, some of the benchmarks that came out of this. And Nancy, I know I mentioned this to you recently. I would, you know, the syntax, that's a funding source that they talk about mm-hmm. in all those different opportunities. But when we engaged with, I believe it was 4 or 5 different Parks and Rec agencies, a lot of them are receiving funding through the marijuana tax or tobacco or alcohol. And those are things that I want to take a little deeper dive. I don't believe that we receive a percentage of Parks and Rec receives a percentage from marijuana tax that I'm aware of. I don't think we do.
No, it's a general fund. It goes into the general fund.
And so, I mean, in the end, we do receive some of it, a little, but, you know, that also goes into the big pot of, you know, public works and engineering and, you know, police, fire, and those are well-needed services also. But, you know, interesting things, like for that funding, I mentioned Lincoln City a couple years ago. They offered free program registration for all youth for an entire year, and that was covered by marijuana tax, and their numbers were through the roof. Yeah. Went through the roof because nobody, there was no barriers for an entire year for kids to be involved. That's pretty big, you know, especially big in communities like us that don't have a lot of resources to keep these kids busy throughout the year. That's one thing we're seeing, you know, in our facilities. We don't have a lot of things for all age groups at all the time. Yeah. But imagine if we closed our doors, you know, where would those kids go? You know, what would those kids be doing? I have a sneaking feeling they would be utilizing our parks, but yeah.
Do lottery funds go to education?
What funds, Nyla?
Do lottery funds go to education?
Yes.
Okay, so is there an education piece that the rec center is providing that would qualify for any of that?
I would have to engage to see what those requirements are to even acquire yeah. those funds.
I think it goes to K-12.
I think they are really directed to actual school districts.
Actual school districts.
Yeah, and I wouldn't think that we would qualify.
So. Okay.
But, you know, maybe there's workarounds.
Another thing I was also thinking about the community college. Like, they don't have a yoga class anymore because they don't have an instructor. Is there some way that we could get some funding by partnering with them a little bit?
There could be. And that's okay. where we need to do a better job of engaging with our stakeholders in many different ways, you know, whether it's childcare, whether it's employment, you know, to have personnel in the building. And so those are discussions that we need to be having with stakeholders like the school district and community college.
So I wonder too.
Go ahead, Charles.
Going along those lines of like OSU, aren't they building that for the residents, for the undergrads, you know, obviously, they're mm-hmm. paying for their rec fees, but unless they travel back to, you know, Corvallis, or they're pretty much not utilizing that. Maybe, I don't know, there's some way we can partner with that, too, along those same lines.
You mean in regards to giving, like, memberships and passes for students, the way they have like, fitness centers at on campus?
Exactly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Having the university foot the bill. Maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how that would work. But, mm-hmm.
Mike or Nancy, I'm making a little list here, and that's on my list also. There'll be the OSU students over on the other side of the bridge and the college students. And then there's also Camp Gray. I don't know if the kids who use that facility would come over here for group swims or something. That mm-hmm. could be a...
And those are those programs, those are those opportunities that we haven't really engaged on and or with, and so those are those offerings that we have to provide, just like the hotels, you know, with passes. It's the same concept. We need to look at potential partners and potential patrons that we could recruit.
Could be part of a larger conversation about cost recovery,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things I'm thinking about as that we could prioritize for this year is ourselves as a committee is maybe devoting an entire session to sort of reviewing the cost recovery suggestions that are made here, bringing our sort of community hats to that and saying we think that the community mm-hmm. would be behind this kind of approach but not this kind of approach, and having some kind of meeting like that. And during that time, we could have this kind of brainstorming of additional ways to bring in money. That would be a really good goal, I think, for the committee.
Yeah, I think that's a great goal, because that actually kind of jogged a minute. It's not just the upward approach. Like, you know, and I know you mentioned to me recently, you know, well, it's not our job to prioritize or give, you know, directive to staff, but you guys play a part. You know, you guys are those,
right.
You know, you have connections that we don't have, or, you know, you know things that we don't know. You know, it's, you know, there's only 7 or 8 of us that, you know, that mm-hmm. are putting our resources. Well, we get another 11. Now we have 18 people providing some sort of information for us to kind of go and chase down. You know, maybe some things are doable, some things might not be, mm-hmm. but at least we know. And those are things that, you know, because we get the day-to-day operations sometimes gets in the way of us kind of thinking bigger and broader. And so to have the y'all's input and coming through
we
me.
Can definitely, that's a really good role for us, I think. And I think mm-hmm. it would make a good goal to mm-hmm. add to our list of goals.
So I want to give kudos, first of all, because I can actually see some of the marketing. You definitely see it on social media and some of the new programming, and it looks really good. And the regular emails, I see that you're doing it. I still feel, because I routinely hear from people that they don't know what's happening at the rec center.
I know.
And I hear mm-hmm. that so frequently, and I actually feel part of the problems is we're using old communication methods. We're using print activity books. Kids don't email. They don't email.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they hate email. It's considered, my parents, even they don't do Facebook. They, like, they don't do a bunch of these technologies, but apps. Everybody has a smartphone, and it just seems like that needs to be merged. It seems expensive to create an app, but it might be really the way to sell programs, and especially with tourists.
Yeah.
I haven't
forgotten. I knew you mentioned that a couple of years ago. I haven't forgotten about the app. I would like to obtain that.
And it's the best way to know when things are canceled, because that is my biggest mm-hmm. pet peeve with the programming, is to show up for things and find they're canceled.
Mm. And, you know, and that, some of that is, you know, from a training standpoint, you know, our staff does a better job of utilizing the tools we already have within our software system to better, because we can communicate by text. Well, we're not doing a great job telling the public, well, this is what you need to do if you want to receive text messages from
us. The web page is awful.
And we'll get there, you know. that's a bigger conversation.
On the other, but it's really hard. I know where things are, and I struggle to find things.
Yeah. No, and that's on an IT level, obviously, our IT department. But there's also, you know, again, within our, just the department website, we have Judy and maybe one or two other people managing the rec center, and that's multiple pages that they have to manage. You know, sports is multiple pages, and that was just me. You know, that's one person.
No, I know.
And, you know, Zach's doing a great job. Zach's come in, he blew up rebuilt that website. Well, Zach came in and he blew it up again, and, you know, he's rebuilding it to make it a little more streamlined than what I created. But that's where, if we can have that hybrid admin assistant / marketing, you know, that person could spend mm-hmm. hours upon hours upon hours, where for us, it's like, okay, I got 10 minutes to seriously update this website before I have to go off and run and do something else. Yeah. And that's where mm-hmm. streamlining.
It strikes me that the marketing piece is not going to get better until you have more staff. I mean, like,
maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I think that it could go both ways.
Yeah.
I think we can improve internally with what we have right now, but I think with, you know, a marketing plan, some education and training, with what we have. But I think, yeah, if we have potentially one more position, we might be able to get that.
And I am seeing.
I'd like to make a suggestion for the committee that we also have a discussion about programs. Suggestion for programs.
A discussion of, sorry, Nyla, say it again.
For programs, I only made it to the first 50 pages of this plan here, but number number six on the list of programs they're requesting is Pilates, and we haven't had it in years. And the thing about Pilates is it's a rehab. Okay. It's a rehab program. I mean, and you can be really disabled and debilitated and still do Pilates. So it would appeal to, you know, seniors and everyone else too, and disabled people.
What would be the best?
But we
way?
Did. We never have a. We never have a teacher to do it anymore.
What would be the best way to do that? Do you think, like, dedicate another meeting during the course of the year to just hearing a list of programs and brainstorming new ones?
Do you think that there's enough for a whole meeting, or do you think we should combine it with something else?
Well, I mean, it could be an agenda item. That's true. It doesn't have to be a whole meeting. But again, I want to just be cognizant of, like, what we can do and what we can't do. We could say mm-hmm. to the department, we want Pilates, but if there's nobody to teach it, we're spinning our wheels.
Well, that's where we've been for a long time. We haven't had an instructor. But just for us to generate suggestions, that's all.
Yeah, and I think with the community surveys that we'll do, that will be a piece that we'll constantly have to engage. What do they want? What do you guys want as a community? And you guys are community also, and, your input definitely matters. But again, not to downplay what's in the room, but we have 11 people on our deep.
We have some of that data from the background.
And that's what I was going to mention is in the very back in the appendices, there's the surveys that are listed in there. And I believe it's even in some of the tables and charts that they have. There's some information in there, what the public and the responses they want. Like cooking was a big one.
Yeah, we sort of did this exercise, I feel
mm-hmm,
like.
Mm-hmm. Pilates was
number six, and I don't remember how many items were all together, but I'd say it was in the top third.
Yeah, and one thing that we've changed here recently is, that was a burden that always, I don't want to call it a burden, but that was a responsibility that always fell on our superintendent position, and we've kind of expanded and trying to broaden responsibilities across the board. And so obviously our superintendent is wearing many hats too. So we've now empowered the fitness instructor to assist with recruiting. That's a piece that's huge in a small community like us. We don't have mm-hmm. a plethora of Pilates instructors laying around mm-hmm. and the ones that are probably already affiliated with some sort of business. Mm-hmm. There could be a conflict and, sometimes that's hard, but, maybe there's a way we can, share resources from maybe another agency that's right up the road. Maybe there's a way that can team together. There's, opportunities there that I recently had discussion with at the ORPA conference with partnering, what I'm trying to do within our department, breaking down silos within our divisions, but I'm also saying, hey guys, we need to embrace and use community to the benefit of us because it benefits us and it benefits community. Well, I'm even thinking bigger and broader of maybe we can have more IGAs similar to what we have for the school district, but maybe we're doing that with Lincoln City.
Right.
Maybe we can do that with, Toledo Pool District. There's opportunities there where, let's get out of our silos even as towns. So there's a lot of thoughts that I
have. And there's the hospital too that has. I don't quite know what's going on in that facility, but mm-hmm. there's another place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this could be a good agenda item for the year and another good goal, and that is to review and brainstorm programs to recommend.
I would special events to that. I know there was a discussion about bringing back triathlon and maybe not being an off-road, but being using the pool and Bayfront. And I keep harping on things, huh?
No, that was one of those things that just fell through the cracks.
I think this would be a great. It would be a great goal. And the one thing I'll just remind everybody is that if we're going to recommend that yep. things happen, we have to step up and volunteer to help because there just aren't enough people. So,
and that's
let's find a Pilates instructor.
Yeah.
Let one of us literally go out and ask your friends who mm-hmm. teaches Pilates. Would you like to do it at the rec center?
Yeah, and I was going to, I was going to talk to you about that offline at some point. Since being in this role, I've seen the 60-plus committee and how they operate. And those committee members are providing, they have their goals, and then they have, who is going to do which goals. And these are their teams, and they are actively moving. And I'm not saying that we don't do that in this committee, but we just operate on a different model.
Right.
And so, we're open to, assistance where, you know, anybody's willing and wanting to help, whether it's here or anybody that comes off the street and is worthwhile with assistance, we're all about that. I'm all about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what I've lived and breathed.
So anything else from the business plan, Mike, that you think that we should consider as a priority for ourselves to either work on or advocate for? I love the idea of reviewing the funding models and coming up with recommendations from the committee as sort of a proxy for the community as to which ones should be pursued.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously assistance with the policy for providing suggestions, any suggestions or policies that we bring forward, you know, one cost recovery, scholarship policy is probably gonna come through at some point. And another big one I would like for, you know, would be regarding DEI. Like I said,
yes.
That is a big push that we, from our department, is gonna be moving into the next fiscal year and really trying to accomplish things. So if we-
Excuse me, DEI?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Ah, thank you.
Sorry about that, Nyla.
Okay.
But that's a big piece. You know, they reference engaging with the Latinx community. That's one piece of it. You know, individuals with disabilities, that's another piece. That's where we're going to be really examining it from both the recreation side and our park side. There's a lot of DEI stuff that we need to change and improve, and even on the parks. And so if there's a way we can align a little bit there, that would be great.
What can we do to help?
At the risk of being a troublemaker, this recreation business plan is complete, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
'Cause I was really uncomfortable with the historic description. I mean, when we're talking about diversity, I just think that story about Newport and the oysters and the tribe was left out the truth.
I'd have to go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Again,
nothing about their land being stolen because of the oysters. Nothing about the genocide that they survived. You know, I mean, seriously, that's just the truth.
And you know, when we do another business plan or strategic plan, we can incorporate that in. And I think that's something that we can easily add into, you know, our department page. Potentially, I've seen that on other agency pages across the
and
nation.
And here's also what I'm thinking is that if we're going to talk about them, perhaps we should ask for their input.
Oh, most definitely. That is, you know, from the staff side, operational side, you know, one of our goal or objectives for the DEI goal that we currently have on the books is training. And you know, maybe that's something even for the committee.
Oh, absolutely. I think that we should be doing it in the committee as well.
Mm-hmm. And, but also, you know, that's one of the big first things is, you know, you shouldn't be just doing DEI to check the box, and you shouldn't be doing it from internal. You need to be engaging and working directly and letting those community members guide how we're putting together our DEI plan or policies. And so there's community members here. The tribe is one of them. So there's definitely some engagement we got to do there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nyla.
Sure.
Well, let's roll this into a little bit of a broader discussion about additional goals. We started this conversation last time, and we generally agreed that we should sort of roll over all of the goals that we had last year, those that are sort of like the bread and butter of what we do. You know, we need to continue to do all of the things that were listed. And by the way, those are part of your packet as well. Towards the end of
way
this
in the back.
Right, way in the back. Let's see. The goals start on page
154.
Thank you. 154. Right. So my thought was, so we have these ongoing goals. We still need to do all of this stuff next year. We've just talked about a couple of additional goals that are related to the business plan, and that is particularly to have a session where we review funding options to help to help with the subsidy, to help with the gap. And then possibly to review and brainstorm programming and events have an agenda item that does that on a meeting during the year, and I think those are great ideas. And so my question is, are there others? We talked last time, for example, about Nyla brought up the issue of ivy killing our trees. And she did some additional research into that question, which I really appreciate, and discovered that we're never going to eradicate the ivy problem, but rather if we sort of cut the ivy at the base of the trees, that helps. Still a big job. So in setting those kinds of goals for the year, I just want to remind everybody that, you know, the committee is advisory and advocacy oriented in nature, and so we can't say something like build a park.
Yeah.
We could work with the department or the city council to look into how to build a park if we wanted to do that. But remember that is, there are many steps involved in a big project like that. Like, we would have to provide a budget. We would have to figure out how to meet that budget. We would have to talk about logistical issues with the various powers that be, right? Like, where are we going to get the land? So we have to be a little bit practical about this goal setting, but I'm certainly open to going beyond what we've done in the past and taking on a new project like advocating for addressing the ivy problem. If there are other very tangible projects like that anyone has in mind, let's talk about them. Let's add them. But we just have to be aware of how we're going to get them done.
Nancy?
Yeah. Cynthia?
The city is about to have its annual goal setting session on January 30th. That is where actually all these projects start. Each counselor can put forth ideas for projects or a goal, and then it's talked over and mulled over again. I mean, this takes a long time, as you know.
Right.
And then we decide on which projects we want to move forward. And then the city manager and the community development director will work on some wording, and then we talk about it again. But really, if you can come up with some concrete goals before January 30th, I myself and Councillor Hall and Parker in particular, you know, we've been to your parks meetings, we'd be glad to try to put forth things. That's
absolutely
where it happens.
And you're already going to receive a memo from us that outlines, first of all, the progress that we've made on the Parks Master Plan, but also the project that we talked about last time that we really want to advocate for, and we hope that it will become a city goal, is incorporation of use of a special wheelchair at Nye Beach, at the Nye Beach turnaround for disabled access to the beach. And we had a long conversation about that last time, and we really want to push that project forward. So that's one thing that will come from us for sure.
Is that like the one they have in Lincoln City?
That's exactly what we're talking about, yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, something like it. A couple of folks on the committee have looked up some information, and we brainstormed some ideas. And so that should be coming to council soon, that memo that includes that request. There could be others, so let's talk about them. Ideas? Nyla, should we make the ivy project a priority or a goal for this year?
I really think so, because we don't want to lose our trees. And some of them are in steep slopes that keep the slope stable.
Okay. So
I think it's kind of critical.
So what steps do we need to do? Yeah, what steps do we need to undertake to complete that goal or to address that goal so that we can put them in the plan?
Well, you know, it's trying to figure out how we're going to get labor to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Angel Job Corps has been kind enough to come and do small sections. I don't know if they would do more for a reduced fee compared to like a youth conservation corps, or if we want to try and staff, in my imagination, a school teacher who's not working in the summer and would be willing to supervise some kids and pay some local kids, you know, giving them a chance to earn some money if that's what they want to do. Keep money in the community and give kids some financial independence.
Would you be able to, would you be able to start to rough out a budget?
I wouldn't even know how to start. Should I call the Angel Job Corps people and ask them if they have some concept?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, Angel Job Corps might be one. We actually discussed this recently because this was a presentation I did for City Council recently.
Okay.
You know, there are some outside of the county agencies or groups that would come in, but there's a significant cost that is associated with that. Some of it is, you know, volunteer hours for learning, you know, skill. But we still would have to accommodate, you know, food and lodging.
That's what I think we want to try and avoid. Agreed.
And then there's some that obviously you're paying hourly wages on top of that food and lodging. We did discuss Angel Job Corps, but I know that their programs got gutted pretty hard, I believe, in the last during budget cuts on the federal side. And I don't know what groups or what divisions or operations they have there. I know they're back up and running, but I think it's on a limited footprint. But yeah, I think that would be a first start. That was someone that came to mind for us. I know whoever that point of contact that you engaged with, maybe they have some references. That was that county that you talked with?
He's the regional noxious weed specialist for our region. He's at the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And yes, he said he'd be happy to talk to me about that kind of stuff. Yeah, sure. I could call him.
We don't need the answers to all these questions now, but if we want to include this as a priority or a goal for the year, just want to have an idea of what we're getting into.
And I will say that during the presentation to City Council on this program, you know, the feasibility of us doing it internally is pretty minimal. We're not going to be able to do it, not for probably some time. But, you know, managing it and council, there was some discussion and there were some individuals that said that they would support potential projects, project funding for this type of program. So that is an opportunity that we could strike soon on during the capital outlay project. So part of the budget. So that is something that we could obtain or try to obtain pretty quickly if we can come up with a general idea number wise. And I did task staff to engage but do some research and try to see if it's feasible. And so Anita is working on that, our landscape specialist. She's kind of rooting around trying to see what possible opportunities we have. So maybe Nyla, if you're able to do that, I could get you in touch with Anita and you guys could share some resources and information.
Yeah, that'd be great because somebody with some expertise about this besides, you know, that I don't have would be good. In terms of the money, you know.
And I think you know, evaluating too how we're going to run the program itself. You know, we need to come up, if we have the opportunity to get the funding and then we identify who's going to do the work, then we'd have to, you know, identify what game plan we're going to do to attack the ivy. We're just going to go into Forest Park, or are we going to get boundaries around residential areas that are just all city properties? Are we doing just parks? You know, those are things we need, because if we're doing all city right-of-ways and stuff like that, then, you know, that's a bigger project that we need to maybe loop in, you know, other departments.
I think we want to think about saving trees. And so looking more at where trees are endangered rather than just city property. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not trying to eradicate ivy. We're just trying to save trees. That's a different subset.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller subset. Forest Park is probably...
It could fall under the Tree City USA activities.
That's my target. Yeah. Yes, right there. Yeah.
So we've got, that's goal number 5 on our current list. And, you know, we could just work it into the objectives that are under that already. They probably should be updated anyway.
And there's an education component to that program too.
Absolutely.
You know, as you're talking about private property. So, you know, there's that piece that we can do or work with someone for an education piece.
Well, can you fudge that to kids learning and being educated while they cut ivy? Probably not, right? I'd really like to provide them with you know, an employment, summer employment opportunity if we could.
So Especially since Cindy's here. I'm not sure if this is a goal, but this is something that I think that we need to make sure that the Parks and Rec is tapped into. The great idea about the Bayfront transport, I love the idea. I'm concerned about what it means for parking for the rec center. If all of a sudden a bunch of people are gonna be parking to take it down, it's gonna have issues with access to the rec center. I mean, it will increase transport in that presumably some people can get there, but I think that that needs to be incorporated into that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about the maybe unintended consequences of people who work at the Bayfront parking in the rec center lot and then being shuttled down the hill or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the rec center being impacted in that there's not parking.
Actually, parking is identified in the rec plan as a potential piece that is limiting the patrons or the use of the rec center and aquatic center and 60 plus center. I know it is for 60 plus.
This area being identified as like the primary hub, that concerns me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know if it rises.
I find it disturbing that low income workers are now not going to be able to park near work. They're the people least able to deal with one more thing in favor of people who don't even live here to come.
But it's something if there is and parking in the plan, but it concerns me if we come in at the end that we may have a unintended consequence after the decision's been made of what the plan is.
But is it going to be adequate parking? I mean, this is a diversity issue too.
That would be...
It's a council issue.
There could
issue.
Be some advocacy from this committee as those discussions come up again. I don't remember when community planning is supposed to do another presentation or public input for that, or if there is.
That came out of the parking committee, mm-hmm. and it's not finalized yet, so there's room for input.
Okay.
Maybe it is to engage with that's going forward or something.
You want to look into how to do public input into that process?
Do we do it as... I mean, because it wouldn't be just general public input. It would be input of the committee
to another. I think for a public input process, they would accept the input from the committee as a whole as well.
Okay.
I can talk with Derek. Let me talk with Derek and find out what we can do on that.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah, asked Derek and Spencer.
Other goals and or priorities for the year? Keeping in mind that we already have a big list of them. So.
Well, in tandem with the ivy, I am concerned about blackberries. And I also had the conversation with Mr. Abercrombie, the noxious weed person. And he said, if you just cut the blackberries down, and then, my dream is that the 4-H kids who have goats, if they wanted to be involved, he said the goats will kill them eventually if you have them cut down once. Then when they come back and they're tender, the goats will just eat them up and they'll die. And I'm talking about on private property, on public property, Forest Park.
This could get rolled into the same item, actually. Could be about invasive species in general.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Mike, I've been scribbling notes furiously, and I think that I can put together in like coherent words some goals and objectives that relate to the discussion we've just had. When are these due? What's our timetable?
I didn't bring that the timeline for the budget season. I believe goals are due towards the end of this month. I believe there might have been an extension on that.
Okay. Because what I'd like to do is type them all up and then like send them around to the committee one more time if there's time for that.
Yeah.
And make sure that everyone's in agreement.
Okay. We have some time.
All right. I would be happy to take that on. But you have to enter them into the computer system.
I do. Mm-hmm. But I will say...
I hate it.
Richard manages the system, and he does a really good job of... and Eric, since Eric's been brought in as the assistant city manager or city recorder, he's been very good at, you know, communicating and deadlines and whatnot. So I can work with them. I know they'll be... We'll get them done, and we'll have them in, but easily before January 30th, before they start their process.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Good. Very good. Well,
I could ask for a little extra help, which is if we could identify how many acres we're talking about, that would really help me.
How many acres of public, of city-owned property there are? Like
that we think that we need to target, that we think we need to target for ivy and blackberries, yeah.
Hmm. I have no idea how to do that.
Are we talking city property or are we talking parks property?
Well, I'm thinking about Forest Park and just property where trees are at risk. I don't have a big overview of that whole thing.
It'd be best to constrain this.
Yeah.
Forest Park for
I think it would be better, you know, for what the scope of this committee is Parks and Rec, we should keep it within parks. And if there's some additional, you know, pieces of property, parcels, city parcels of land, whether it's right-of-ways or, you know, ravines and whatnot throughout town, that's a bigger discussion that we should loop in more people.
Do we think we have trees there in those areas?
Do we? Oh, yes. I mean, there's ivy on trees as you come up Hatfield. Hatfield right. Drive, and that's right away. So, and by code, right away is city property.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's also all the property around the reservoir that's city property. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trees. Mm-hmm. So maybe we constrain it to Forest Park to start, kind of as a demonstration project.
Sure. That helps us start to figure out how much it costs to do it.
Right.
Any place. Yes,
yes,
thank you.
We do have the acreage of Forest Park. That is easy to get.
And also
thank you
with the education market, you know, trying to make it more of a community movement type thing.
Right, right.
Sure.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. That's an exciting new thing for us to try. Let's see. So...
There has been discussion also of tree inventory.
Tree inventory.
Mm,
right, we have talked about that.
Yeah, I believe we talked about it here. We've talked about it on council level. That could be a potential project at some point in time. There's a lot of moving pieces that go with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, who's going to do the work? You know, volunteer-based, education-based, education for the volunteers potentially that are going to do the work. GIS that gets wrapped into that, incorporated. So that's something working with our GIS coordinator, IT department. So that could be a potential project it's a project that we would like to try to take on at some point in time. You know, it's just which project do we start with in the priority. So, you know, mm-hmm. we, as much as we take council's priorities and what they deem, you know, priorities also from public here
right.
in the community. You guys represent the community, so if you guys think that there's a certain projects that should be done, just like we already identified in the park master plan,
I think that you need to have the flexibility and the autonomy to take the priorities that are given to you from council, priorities that are given to you from us, everything that comes out of your own staff's brains, and come up with your own work plan for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand, I think council as well, but the committee especially, because of our role, that if everything, you know, everything we suggest to you doesn't get done, it's not because, you know, we weren't listened to. It's because you have to come up with a work plan that makes sense for the staff that you have.
Yeah, a reality check for everyone that we've realized in the last year, now that we have some good pieces in place, you know, even on the park side, this was discussed, is when we did our strategic planning with them, a project that takes up almost every day is just deferred maintenance and the lack of maintenance that has been done in our park system for the last however many years.
10, 12 years.
And, you know, that itself has become a project in everywhere we look, you know, outside
of
building a park and putting in new play structures and, you know, getting fitness equipment stations, you know, built or something to that effect. You know, it, I mean, just shoring up a hillside, you know, to stop erosion. That's a huge project that takes many, many days to do in-house and, you know, doing it on a shoestring budget sometimes. And so, you know, those are the things I want to, for you guys to keep in mind also, you know, those are the, but we're taking it one day at a time and we'll get there, you know, and everybody's looking forward and staff's like, well, don't worry, we'll get there. And we, our parks crews have said we've done more this past year than we've ever done in the last like five to 10 years. And so they're very excited.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Looping back to your tree inventory idea, that's a really good one because then that would help us identify if there are other areas that we need to expand to protect trees.
Very cool.
I need to go. I'm supposed to be in another meeting. Okay. Thank you so much.
That's all right. Thanks, Nyla. We still have quorum, so we're good. I'm going to actually move us along unless there's any last minute priorities. Great. We're doing well on time. I'm going to make it to my concert. I know I am. Mike. It's back to you for the director's report, man.
Let's see how long I can talk to make things late to the concert.
Set a timer for you.
Let's keep it to five, shall we? Since
pretty soon
we're
I'll be on the floor of Congress filibustering here, guys. So real quick, sports division. I've already hit on a lot of these programs in our last meeting. The big one that I wanted to talk about was our volleyball academy. Zach has been engaging with Coach Smallwood from the high school, and they've come up with a plan to do a kind of a low-key volleyball academy targeting a certain age group and to obviously promote and build strong players on the high school level. But the idea is to expand that program in future years and kind of create this academy-built structure. There used to be an academy program that operated in the off-season, and that's kind of fallen apart a little bit. So she approached Zach, and so they're working together. So that's an awesome, awesome program that Zach's – a new program that Zach's brought to the table. So I'm looking forward to seeing more new things that he's doing. On the park side, our crews have been doing a lot of memorial benches. Our supplier is slow to get us the orders, but when the orders come in, it's like, hey, you got double orders. And so we have like 14 benches sitting up there.
Wow.
Not great for obviously the people that purchased the benches, but because of the timeline that they've been waiting, but they've been doing a great job. And there's some pictures, and Scott's come in and he's changed up how we're doing our benches. Some of the benches that we built that are off of pathways, we used to do gravel, pea gravel at the bottom, but that's a safety issue, and I never even thought about that because that pea gravel gets out on the concrete pathway. Well, now you're like walking on marbles. And so as you can see, they're doing a lot of cement pads where our memorial benches are. And then also another thing, if we didn't put pea gravel and it's on a piece of grass eventually over time, you have a hole where everybody's feet are. Well, then you can't sit at the bench because you got a puddle of water half the year. So we're doing a lot of work there, putting in those pads. And then a really exciting piece is our last full-time position was filled on the park maintenance side. We recruited a great employee, Clayton Goodwell, and he came from the Housing Authority, and he is a hard worker. He is like a bull. He just comes
That's
through and
fantastic.
Plows. And so it's really great to have him on. At the 60 Plus Center, Sonia and I have been meeting, and we've also been meeting with engineering department. We're reevaluating the remodel project that was started when Jim Prativa was here, where we had some plans that were built by an architect. We are re-engaging potentially with changing up some of that remodel because the original remodel was just bumping out our second street entrance wall and expanding that out. We still want to do that, but now we've kind of looked at the interior and we're like, you know, open floor plans are the way to go nowadays, you know, in the residential house. Why can't we do something like that and create a more welcoming, open environment in our lobby, kind of in lounge area? And so we're evaluating that. Sonia's doing a lot of engagement with her members and, you know, creating some options. So we're kind of moving forward there. So we can utilize the funds that are on the budget so we can get some new plans put together. Again, they had great success with trips in October. Both trips were sold out. They went to Rockaway Beach for the Fall Splendor excursion. And they also headed over to St. Paul for the Pumpkin Patch and pig races. So pig races are always fun to see. on the pool side, Keely is, man, I tell you, her staff, she and her staff are doing phenomenal for the amount of short staff that they've been dealing with, and the fact that they're short one full-time position over there, the assistant aquatic supervisor position. But they did a spooky swim. 94 participants attended that, which is phenomenal. And then also this, actually just recently, this past week, she did a Santa swim, and pre-registration, when there was still a week, there was like 64 people registered. So she's doing a great job. Those are her two of three special events that she has as one of her objectives in our department goals. So she is on her way to easily obtaining that. And again, I want to point out that she's doing that with less staff. So I can't wait to see what she's going to do with more staff. Rentals are doing well over there. And she's been working with North Star Chemical, swapping out our large storage tank. That way we can still receive hydrochloric acid from them because we almost lost their services because of the size of our tank. Rec Center, attendance in October, pretty much came close to doubling from our 2021 numbers. And we've noticed that on the Rec Center as a whole, rentals are up, programs are coming back, instructors, we're starting to see more instructors in the building. And so in our passes and memberships and revenue is up. So very excited about that. Her and I and Keely, we've discussed, you know, we're starting to have those discussions of how we can reevaluate our passes. And we can also reevaluating how our entry is into the facility so we can kind of maybe cut those passes in half and offer the opportunity to have aquatics passes, just aquatics passes, and just coming to the pool. So we're looking at that. And then, let's see, met again with the Lala Center regarding childcare and some form of partnership there. And so those are still ongoing discussions. And then Latinx Night, we hosted that October 10th. We had 40 plus people in attendance. We had a multifaceted setup. We had some sports going on in one gym. We had an aerobics instructor there, and that significantly helped his program and classes. Offering some demos there. We had health department offering vaccines. And then we, as you can see, we had an amazing a dance presentation by Centro de Ayuda, and that was phenomenal. Those people, everybody hung around in the building just for that. And then the minute that dance was done, everybody left. But it was phenomenal. Ava was there. She was one of the dancers. She did a phenomenal job. And her and I had some healthy discussions about making improvements and having a bigger Latinx night going forward. So
That's very exciting.
Quick question. Any update on the cracks and the too many people in the pool flooding?
So the only update that we have is right now we are we have monthly surveys that are being done to see if the pool is moving at all, if there's any continuing settling. We also have, obviously, we're having our leak detection come out, services come out, and they're checking it every 3 months. If they find no leaks, they stay on that three-month schedule. If they find leaks, additional or new leaks, then we shorten that window of time for them to come back and until we see no more leaks. But there hasn't been any changes that we've seen in the last, I believe, 6 months. And if we have a year's worth of survey data, official survey data, we do have unofficial survey data already. But if we don't have any movement in about a year, then we're going to actually move forward with a fix. So And we have budgeted funds there.
So, and they figured out a workaround for meet warm-ups to be able, because one of the issues with swim meets was we need to warm up the swimmers, and when you have that many swimmers in the water, that's when it really flooded the decks.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis,
Swim club,
designed something, and so there's it kind of solved the situation.
Yeah, Travis, who's president, is it president? He's the president, or he's a board member.
He was just a meet director.
Okay, meet director, but he has he's from OSU, and
sorry,
Nancy's giving me looks. But yeah, we have a drain line that's on the deck, and we just unscrewed that, and we created some barriers, and we're pushing water as it overflowed into that drain, and that really significantly reduced any risk. But we haven't seen how it works for just high school bodies. That was for the little kids.
See it on Saturday.
Yeah, so we'll see.
But all right.
That's my story.
Our next meeting is January 4th. Mm. I have a list of agenda items that include, I'll give a final presentation of our goals for the year along with a calendar, a rough calendar of what we're going to do when. I like to have that sort of spelled out, even if we don't stick to it, just so that we know that we sort of have time to incorporate everything. What time do I do with my other? Here we go. So I'll talk about that. I will... I'm hoping that we'll be able to continue our discussion of the wheelchair project, because by that time, council will have seen our memo, and we'll have some feedback from them and maybe from staff. Mike and I can talk about that, because I know that there's been even more discussion since our last meeting, actually. And then if I feel like we have time, you know, another person that we haven't heard from yet is the sports coordinator. I'd like to bring him in. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't met him yet officially, and have him come in and talk about his programs. We'll also have to do elections in January for officers. I'm the chair, obviously. Cheryl is the vice chair, assistant chair, whatever the currently. And we'll just stay tuned and we'll see. I'm going to be willing to run again. And I'll talk Cheryl into it, I'm sure. But that we'll have to have a vote. We'll have to have a formal vote at our next meeting, because it will be January, and there may be some things that come up between now and then that Mike and I will talk about, but that's a full enough agenda as it is. I can adjourn us, or I can leave the meeting open and have Cheryl chair as I leave if you guys have other stuff that you want to talk about, but I do have to take off. Anybody want to hang around for further? Leave the meeting open? No? Adjourn? Okay, then I will adjourn us at 7:12. Thank you.
Can you mail me a mail-in ballot so I can just open it?
Nice meeting you.
Starts above. Starts the sparkling.